All righty, good morning, Coastsiders. It's Friday, May 27th, 2022. Turn in your textbooks and bust out your swimsuit. It's time for some coastal windage. That's right, this is Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast, the Coastside's own live call-in talk radio show. I'm Ruben Truthmaker, here with, for the last time ever, my co-host.
Wow, you're going to get me tearing up in the very beginning of the show here, Ruben.
This is going to be a tearful show, okay,
because
this is Livy's last show.
Well, not for that reason.
Yeah, well, you know? It is for me. I mean, we'll get to that at the end of the show,
yeah.
But this is Livy's last show after 152 episodes and five seasons.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's been an incredible
ride.
And we'll get to that at the end of the show, okay, but right now, this is something that requires addressing. From time to time on this show, this is a show about coastside issues, coastside topics. But from time to time, the world intrudes upon our coastside enclave, our oasis here, and we have to address it. In the past, we've addressed the policy of separating children from their parents at the border and the immorality of that. We've discussed the one of the worst days of American history, January 6th, 2000 and what was that? 2021.
Yep.
There's a war going on with people being killed and bombed and homeless in Ukraine, and our feelings about for the Ukrainian people.
Boy, it's dark times.
And now we have to talk about what happened in Texas on Tuesday. I think everybody knows what happened. It's the same thing that happened last week in Buffalo and last year in Florida and Texas and other places and last decade in Sandy Hook and last century in Columbine. Okay, this is only Tuesday was elementary school kids, 10-year-olds.
This is so hard to talk about.
Their blood is on our hands as adults, as voters, because we're not doing anything to stop it. And I don't have the words that somebody like Steve Kerr has.
Kerr, that was so powerful. This is going to be really hard to get through.
The coach of the Warriors, if you haven't seen this, go look it up online. Steve Kerr says it all. And I think he expresses what we are all feeling.
Yep.
Okay, here's the scary part where we bring it back to our situation here, okay? These are our children. We have children. Livy and I have children. We're around children. Children are the future. And I had a chance to drive three 14-year-olds to school yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked them how they felt about it. And the distressing response, I wouldn't have been happy, but I would have understood tears or anger or fear.
Yep.
There was a collective shrug in the car. And America, Coastside, that is what is to be most worried about. A collective shrug. Our children are numb to this. There's lots of stories of parents trying to explain it to their kids. I don't know if I believe these, and kids being afraid. I don't know. I know it's a small sampling, three 14-year-olds. But these are three intelligent, diverse 14-year-olds that I think are representative of not only Coastside children, but children in America.
And I have a feeling that I certainly knew one of them, and probably all three of them indirectly. And I will say that at, the younger years, all of those kids were off the charts empathetic. Off the charts empathetic in preschool, kindergarten, first grade, second grade. So the common denominator there is this world that is shutting that empathetic nature down in these young children and in adults, but sadly, the young children.
I mean, you nailed it, Livy, because that's what I was going to, is that there was no empathy from these teenagers. There was no, I tried to ask them, well, how do you think your teachers feel? That this is, do you think they're nervous or scared or anxious to come to school today? Like, this is their workplace where this stuff is happening. At any moment, the door could get kicked open and some, person in body armor and a machine gun come into the room and start shooting. You don't know if that's going to happen anymore. These kids again, a shrug. They had no thought of the of their teachers or even themselves, let alone really the victims of this. And I think that part of this is this is on our hands as adults. It is the childish, petty, and dysfunctional adult background noise that they have to deal with all the time.
But do you think it's their way of processing the horror? I mean,
No, because I feel like their faces are buried in TikTok. Adults have lost credibility. Okay, adults have lost credibility. In our day, it was like you fight your dad or whatever. Like the establishment, the adults have all the power, and like we don't like that, and we don't like what they're doing. But there was you kind of wanted their power or their what they had.
Mm-hmm.
Adults, in my mind, this is how I'm reading it, have lost credibility with again this petty, childish, dysfunctional squabbling over politics and dumb stuff. Like whether we should have background checks for weapons. The kids are smart enough to see that, like, if adults can't come together on this, then they have no credibility. Why should we listen to them when they're not doing common sense stuff? And they're allowing this to happen. And this is what I'm saying is that right now, school shootings, dead 10-year-olds, is just, the currency of life for our children today. And that is one of the saddest things that I've ever had to say on this show, is that it's not a horrific thing that we're old enough to remember that Columbine, right? And like that, mm-hmm. that just the horror of like what is happening. And now 20 years later, we're also numb to it, but the kids are growing up into it. It's just a regular occurrence now. It's just a regular occurrence.
It is, which is beyond anything imaginable. However, I still do think that they are clearly seeing everything that's happening, and they have to process it in a way that they can deal with it. I don't disagree with you that adults have lost credibility at the table, and that all of our hope lies in this in our children's generation, because we've messed absolutely everything up. But I also think that there is so much devastation and so much horror and so much toxicity out there. How is a young person supposed to take all of that information in without putting up some sort of a wall around it? I don't think that that is truly how they feel. But God, I mean, if they were to really emote on all of those horrors, they'd be crushed. Their hearts would be crushed. I can't imagine that they. It's a protective way of moving on for those young children. It's so sad. There is no. That's my best guess. I can only assume, because I do know those kids, and I know that if I was ever in danger or whatever, that certainly I know your son would come running and help.
I mean, I hope so.
He would.
I don't know what to. As almost as depressing as Tuesday was, the trying to have this discussion with these teenagers. And just feeling this, like, whether it's, covering up, right?
Yeah.
Self-protection, or I just really think it's just background noise now. School shootings, yes, it's happening to their peers, but it's just more background noise. The level of rancor in this country among adults about political stuff, of which guns is a political thing, has risen to the level that the kids are not paying attention, processing, or really getting involved in caring about school shootings anymore, because it's just more adult white noise in the background. All right, this is Ruben and Livy, and we're kind of in a heavy discussion, but we've got a caller. Who have we got this morning?
This is T-Bone.
Hey, T-Bone.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Good morning. Yeah, I just had to call because I agree with Livy 100% that I can relate to the kids, these 14-year-olds that, so you know, quote unquote, shrug. I'm numb to it. I can't. If I open that door, I won't be able to carry on. And so I think that's what all these kids, that's what they're doing. When you see them having no emotion and shrugging and not, you know, seemingly not to care, that's their coping mechanism. And we have done that to them.
Yeah.
Because there have been so many mass shootings and that it's just you just see it in the news now every week, and that's just how it is now. And so that's what they've bottled that inside, and that's how they cope, and that's how they deal.
Yep.
And that is a very, very sad fact.
It is.
Kids can't even express the emotion because it's too devastating. It's
yeah.
too hard. How do you carry on from that?
And yeah.
So all of us are just shutting it away and not dealing with it.
So with it shut away, and especially if that's what the kids are doing, the kids are growing up to mature into positions of authority and control in society. If they have been forced to subvert this in their consciousness, how is this problem ever going to get solved? If everybody, it's so difficult and painful to deal with that we must just shut it away and not think about it, where is this going? How will this ever get better?
I don't know that we have any answers right now, unfortunately.
T-Bone, have you solved this for us?
I mean, no, I don't have any answers, but I mean, the blame lays at the feet of adults.
Yep.
Yes,
continues
for sure.
to happen, and we do nothing about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's our fault that we're raising kids to be numb to this.
And that
they
shouldn't
be numb. This should be something that happens once in your lifetime that you experience this.
Well, that's what I was.
And they experience
this
every week now.
Yeah,
but that's what I'm saying though. Is I think that like part of their numbness is that they're just tired of adults behaving this way, not only with. I mean, this was an adult. I mean, I guess it was an 18-year-old, so technically an adult, but a teenager. But the adults refuse to act like adults and handle this situation. And so I feel like the kids see that and go, well, what are we supposed to do? You know, we're going to just check out because the adults
well,
have no credibility.
I think you also have to realize, yes, I'm sure there are those, but then there is also a subset. I'm sure they're like, this is not going to happen on our watch. These adults have messed up. I'm going to move forward with in my young adult life and correct the mistakes of my father.
Well, oh, sorry.
No, I do think that there are those kids too that are putting this into action or like, not on my watch. I'm not going to make the same mistakes that they've made. It might be a smaller subset, but I think it's true.
Well, T-Bone, thank you for the call and keep listening because, you know, ironically or not, or just, you know, the whims of the universe smiling down upon
us. Yeah, good timing.
We have in our live studio interview today two educators, Claire Reitman Grout and Lindsay Stewart, who are co-founders of the Coastside Leadership Academy, which is a new, you know, angle on education for our teens.
Yeah.
And maybe this is how we develop a mindset in teens to get
us
through.
Yeah, looking forward
to
it.
You know, maybe that's the healing salve that we need on today's show is talking to Claire and Lindsay about their vision of the future for education for our children.
No
okay.
pressure, ladies.
Last thought on this, and I know
Thank you, T-Bone.
Sorry. Thank you for the call. Very good call, T-Bone. Very heartfelt.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And this is the 2 minutes of the show that's going to, like, inflame people and get me. Okay. All right. Well, we'll take another call.
Go.
All right. Okay, this is Ruben and Livy on Coastal Windage. Who have we got this morning?
We have Heidi Klein calling in. How are you guys?
Good.
Hello,
Heidi. How are you?
Good morning.
I'm great. Yes, thank you so much for deep diving into this whole thing about the traffic situation. And, yeah, just it's really rough with the accidents. But I just really wanted to congratulate and thank Miss Streetwise for all of her dedicated service to the radio show. And we've all just really loved listening to her. And thank you so much. We heard this is her last
It is. Thank you. Thank you for the call. I know it's been quite a ride. It's been the best experience ever. Ruben's just been an amazing host, and I've just ridden on his coattails these last five years. So it's been a true joy for me.
Well, thanks for all you've done for the community, and we look forward to seeing you around town.
Thank you. Thank you.
Great.
That's a great call.
Thank you, Heidi.
Thanks, Heidi.
Thanks for those words.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Have a great show.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, before we change tenor here, just let me just drop a bomb and walk away from it, which is I'm like Steve Kerr. Like, I'm at the end of my rope. America, get over yourself and your guns. Okay. Guns are the problem. Maybe people are the problem, but assault rifle guns are the problem. Nobody is massacring 23 people on a knife rampage. Nobody is killing 50 plus people from a 23rd story of a casino with spears or bows and arrows. Okay? This is a gun problem. Gun people, I know gun people, there are responsible gun people, but the whole mentality is out of control politically. And this is what the problem is. All right. Yep, there we go. Okay. Let's All right, this is Ruben and Livy. Who we got calling us this morning? Sorry, it's a heavy topic.
We can't hear you.
Yep.
Hello?
Okay. I expect that caller, hopefully that caller will call back. Seemed like we had an audio issue there. Okay. Speaking of which, let's just go right into June 7th is Election Day.
Yes.
If you feel like you want to try to do something, it's kind of hard in our congressional district because it's not like we're really going to have much of an impact on this particular issue in our
Every vote counts, though.
It does, and it when this is Ruben and Livy, who we got on the phone this morning.
This is the other dude.
Other dude. Perfect person to call, because not only have you been a host on this show, friends with Livy and I, but also have military and law enforcement experience.
True.
Okay, thank you for the call. That was I summed up your resume for you there.
Yeah.
What's on your mind, other dude?
Well, to say that this is an adult problem is a simplification and kind of misleading.
Oh, okay.
I'm an adult. I'm a gun owner.
Mm-hmm.
I was, like you said, in the military and in law enforcement. But I understand completely what we need is better gun control. And we need to get rid of the system right now that has, in what is supposed to be a democracy, there is a small percentage of people now in charge of this country. We see it in what's going on in the Supreme Court. We see it in what's going on in states around the nation of already doing away with abortion and many other things that are problematic. And guns are just one of them that are controlled by a tiny portion of people. We need to root out that idea and the system that allows them to continue to be in power improperly.
Yes.
And fix the system from a political standpoint and from a standpoint of how do we regulate these things. We're not doing those things.
Yeah.
And it's not just an adult problem. There are tons of adults who say, we need to fix this. But right now, we can't get that process to work because there is a small group of people who have, I'm going to use this word, infested government.
Yes.
And we now have no control over them.
So
they're doing anything they want to and not doing things that they should be doing.
So
that's the problem.
How do we but this is where I think Steve Kerr's frustration,
yeah,
like,
how do we write that
bubbles
chip?
Over of like, okay, but they've gotten to this point and they've entrenched themselves and it seems like have broken the system.
It's not broken, but we have to get, again, we got voters out for the last election, and they did some, they pulled off a miracle as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, right.
As much as was going on to try to taint that whole thing, we got a foothold there, and we need to continue to do that. We can't just have people start saying, oh, I'm so frustrated with this, nothing's going to help, nothing's going to change it. We got to keep... It's a kind of revolution right now to keep active, to keep voting, to
keep trying
to get the right people into office, and the people who are just obviously money grabbing and power grabbing and don't give a rat's behind for their voters or anyone else. And we just have to keep pushing what supposedly made this country great. You have a vote and you can vote. And do that and get things changed.
Yes. I miss you, other
okay,
dude.
Okay, so other dude, like, you've got hope and optimism and you've got belief. And I really, I'm thankful for that. I mean, I know Livy does too.
Yeah.
And it just sustains cynic non-believers like myself that there's still good people out there that believe that we can do this.
If you don't have belief and hope, they've won.
Okay, that's something I will definitely consider when I'm in a dark moment thinking about, you know, the end is near. It's like, that's acknowledging defeat at that point.
Yeah.
And yep.
Never
you gotta
give up.
You got to keep pushing for what you know is right. And, you know, there are people out there, I know, I don't know what else to call it. They've been brainwashed. They think that somehow following these people who are just right in front of our face are tearing down this country. They've been brainwashed to it. Mm-hmm. Just like you guys were talking about. The kids are numb to all of this.
Yeah.
Well, there's a group of adults out there who are numb to things that they don't see as being in their benefit. I want my guns, and the people who are pushing all that want the money that come from those guns, and it's a vicious cycle of economics is one of the big problems of it, but you probably can't change those people. It's probably too late. They are what they are or what they've become, and we just have to keep trying to get the people who understand this stuff is wrong. It's not right to have these guns that anybody can buy. Or anybody can buy. I mean, there are gun laws now, and they don't do any good. There's not enough. There's not enough background checks. There's not enough psychological profiling, if you want to call it that. There are problems with the system, and the system could be fixed if they want to fix it. But do you know what that does? Less guns will be sold. Oh my God, our bottom line is going to get hurt.
Hey, other
That's
dude,
what they look at.
Do you out where you are right now have the gun exchange program? Oh, right. They recently had an exchange program in Oakland where you could trade your gun in, no questions asked, and you would get gas vouchers, actually.
Here in the Midwest,
they receive thousands of guns. Thousands.
Here in the Midwest, the program might work like this. You trade in one gun, and they will give you two.
Yeah.
Okay,
right.
That's not what we're looking to do. Okay.
There's no programs like that running right now. And even if there were, I bet they would probably, somehow they'd probably end up with negative numbers.
Right.
Okay.
The gun culture is strong here. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about that.
So do you find that you're in the minority with your thinking that of, you know, that there needs to be regulations, or do you find
no.
that? Okay.
No, I don't. Again, that's what I'm talking. That's what
right.
I called about is it's
right.
not an adult problem. It's a small group of adult problem. Almost anybody that I've talked to anywhere in the country says we need stronger laws. We need stronger regulation on this stuff. And I know people who own assault weapons. And do you know what most of them say? I would gladly give those up if they pass the laws to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, I wish those voices could be heard because those small few have the pulpit, and they are screaming the loudest, saying that they're representing their constituents.
Where
they clearly aren't, is what
you're
saying.
They're representing their own pocketbook.
Yeah.
Well, other dude, we've got a couple of educators here who I think are going to give us another positive view. Thank you so much for your insight on this. Really appreciate it, other dude. Other dude, I mean, he's going to blush, but a great American, served in law enforcement, served in our military, and has devoted his life to volunteer work, really, over the last 20 years. And that is the type of American that we need.
You bet.
Okay. Thank you, other
Miss
dude.
You. Bye-bye.
See you guys later.
Bye-bye.
Last thing on this point is, America, do we have the courage to do this? Or are we going to hide behind some AR-15s?
I think we have the courage. I'm now really pumped up after listening to the other dude.
An AR-15 and body armor does not make you a tough guy.
Yeah.
You know what makes you a tough guy? Walking in with no body armor and no gun and saying, "Let's talk this out." Okay. June 7th election. I'm just gonna hit headlines because we want to get to some positive points here. E-bikes, don't like them. I think they're a scourge. Half Moon Bay is deciding whether to allow them on the coastal paths, the bike paths. I'm just going to say this. These e-bikes can go up to 28 miles an hour. I see they weigh like 60 to 80 pounds. I see people riding them that are not in good enough shape to ride a real bike any distance, are not wearing helmets, and are blowing along the coastal trail at 20 to 25 miles an hour on these heavy bikes that they can't handle enough that they have to stop and brake. They're not going to be able to do it. If I rode my road bike 28 miles an hour down the coastal path, there'd be a post on Nextdoor before I even got home complaining about all these crazy cyclists. But we got people that can't handle a bike doing 25 miles an hour with no helmet on 60 to 80 pound bikes on the coastal trail. They are not bikes. If it requires a power source, it's not a bike. Okay? It's a moped. All right. Positive.
Yes, here we go. Let's go to the positive.
Golf and El Granada. Thank goodness for the Granada Community Services District, which 10 years ago, voters on the Midcoast decided to give it parks and rec authority. So they've been working on a variety of plans, including stuff for the Burnham Strip. One of their plans is to put a disc golf course in the Sonora Strip. This is not the Burnham Strip by Surfers Beach. The Sonora Strip is over on the north side of El Granada, the large...
Close to the press?
Yes, the large kind of eucalyptus grove of
undeveloped... They're not going to knock those...
No, that's the great thing about frisbee golf.
Okay.
Frolf or disc golf, whatever you want to call it, is that you can put the... They're going to have fairways and tee boxes and the metal baskets, the chain link baskets. 12 holes... Free, and it's only going to cost like at max $35,000. Okay?
I don't even know why it's going to cost that much.
Do you know how much the pump track is costing?
Don't even tell me.
Like half a mil. Half a mil.
Mounds of dirt.
Rick Barker at Coastside Mountain Bikers, we could have built that pump track for less than 10,000 in a week. And had it done, but
5 years.
That's government.
5 years,
anyway,
if not longer.
They're talking about bringing this disc golf. I think it's a great idea. This is the exact kind of thing that I've been advocating for a decade now. Free entry level activities that teens can do. That when that disc golf course is there, I'm going to be there every week playing. It is so much fun.
That's great.
Disc golf is a lot of fun, especially walking out in the trees and stuff. Okay, so disc golf, great. I was going to say positive.
Any news on a new rec center?
The GCSD is talking about a community center. They even are talking about a site, but I don't know where the money's coming from. So I'm not going to hold my breath. That's not going to happen while my child is living at home. Let's just say that, I don't think. All right, I was saying let's go positive, but I've got emails here, so... You know how those are. Okay, well, a phone call, maybe that'll rescue us. All right. Livy and Ruben, who are we talking with this morning?
The Coastal Butterfly.
Coastal Hello. Butterfly. How, Michelle Dragony, how's it going?
It's going really well. I thought I'd call in since I'm partially responsible for the disc golf.
Oh, yes,
oh,
right.
Nice.
You are on the PAC committee for GCSD.
Correct. And I'm also partially responsible for the pump track, too.
Yes.
Nice.
Right.
So, the reason why these things are so expensive is because they went through the coastal development permit process.
Right, right.
And one could also call it the CEQA industrial complex.
Yes, right. How much does a CEQA document cost to produce, right?
Well, you have to have archaeology. You have to have the drainage people. You have
geotech.
It is basically a career track. This could have been the pump track could have been built for a lot less. But as somebody who is inclined to do my own digging, it is a problem. And I know with the disc golf, one of the people that's on the parks committee is actually a state park ranger. His name is Ethan Rayner, and he's in charge of vegetative restoration. So we've got a ringer on our pack now, and we're trying not to call it the Sonora Strip anymore.
Oh, really? What's wrong? Is there some negativity associated with that?
Well, I think it confuses with the Burnham Strip, and it's not really a strip. It's between Sonora and Seville, and ultimately it's CUSD property.
Yes.
Cabrillo Unified School District property. And there's a lot of county roads, paper streets that are on that property as well. But I think we walked with a couple of the disc golf golfers, Pat Tierney.
Mm-hmm.
Pat Tierney is also on the pack. He's one of my cohorts regarding this. And he's the one that's sort of negotiating with COSD. COSD is right now involved with a property negotiator. They're looking at all of the properties to see what they want to do with it. But the superintendent, Sean McFetridge, who Pat is working with, has said that if we do something really temporary, then we can muck about for a few years until perhaps they might build teacher housing.
Right.
One of the things. But they're at the very, very early stages of looking at the property as an asset and what they want to do with it.
Right.
And just as a note, population for children is going down. It's been going down for more than a decade. So getting back to disc golf, one of the GCSD board members wanted to do a CDP, and I on camera said, humans, the other endangered species, please. So what's great about having Ethan on board is he walked around and there was so much damaged property. He said whatever is occurring here is not valuable in terms of vegetative restoration. In fact, one of the things that we'd love to do with the property is make it a vegetative restoration sort of sample, a project that we can look to and say, this is what you can, this is damaged, eucalyptus. I know we like the trees, but how do we restore it to something that's better? And I know the medians, they're having the same question. Everywhere in El Granada, the Resource Conservation District, they're trying to figure out, well, what do we plant now if we don't plant eucalyptus? And so I love to team with the RCD and see if we can do restoration on that property. And the disc golf is really so non-invasive. There's nothing. Maybe you can cut some grass, but maybe you don't.
Michelle, that's the great thing about disc golf. You could literally go and do a disc golf round right there, right now. Just that tree, par three. Let's go.
Exactly. And so I think we've gone from sort of a CDP mentality to suggesting that we put in a couple of these disc golf things, the baskets, and they're stuck in the ground. There's a piece of metal that's usually beside the post, and it's just locked there. The guy who's doing the and the people locally, Jim Kelly and Marty, I forget Marty's last name, but these guys have been around. Martin grew up here, and Jim Kelly's got kids, who are grown now as well. And but big local disc golfers, and that's what we're just trying to do something local. There's not going to be any signage. People will find out about it through their GCSD billing. And maybe just a little bit of outside buzz, but very little, just very local.
It'll be a great addition.
Well, Michelle, excuse me. could talk to you for an hour, but we actually need to go because we've got our two live interview guests who want to really hear what their solution for America is here. Not to put any pressure on them. But Michelle, thank you so much for what you do for the community, for GCSD.
Bye-bye. Thanks so much for the call.
CoastsideBuzz.com. Go check that out. Really, if you haven't checked that out, what are you doing? Go now. Yeah. Read about the Coastside. Michelle is keeping everybody up to date. Okay, you know what? Here goes the script flying away because now we're going to get into it.
We're
right now.
We're diving deep.
Right. We're just skipping.
Okay,
skipping,
let's skip.
Skipping.
Let's go right into.
Hold on.
Jeez, our
interns were busy. This skipping.
I know.
Oh, here we go. Okay. All right, here's our Shooting the Breeze live interview. We've got two studio guests in here, Claire Reitman-Grout and Lindsay Stewart. Co-founders of the All-Girls Coastside Leadership Academy, which is opening in the fall of 2022 for its inaugural high school cohort. Greetings.
Hi, thanks so much for having us.
Well, thank you for coming in. I appreciate you coming in here on such a heavy day. Wow,
oh,
you guys are really popular, huh? Okay, we'll take a call real quick. This is Livy and Ruben. Who have we got?
Hello, it's Livy's mom.
Oh,
okay, Livy's mom. Okay.
Hi, Mom.
Oh.
Thank you for the call.
Oh, I just wanted to say that you may always believe and have hope, and you'll get through it. Everyone will get through it. I've loved listening to you. You warm the cockles of my heart. You're a wonderful team.
Thank you.
Will miss so not hearing your voice, Livy, and hearing your laugh and hearing your input.
Thank you. Aw, thank you for the call, Mom.
Wonderful. So, let me give you Dad for a minute.
Oh, well,
wait a minute.
Sorry. Hi. Thank you for the call. All right. Bye-bye.
Wait, what about your cousin Randy? Is he on the line, too? Can we get Randy on?
Okay. Thank you, Mom and Dad.
All right.
Well, that was really sweet.
Aww.
All right, Claire and Lindsay, the rest of the show, I promise, is yours. Tell us about the school, okay? Tell us about this, because I'm a traditionalist, and this makes me, it makes me anxious and nervous. Like, I need, walls and a curriculum and textbooks and stuff, and this is none of those things. So describe this foreign world to me.
Yeah, well, so Lindsay and I have been friends for the past 6 years, and we've been joking about always wanting to start our own school. And after the pandemic, we just decided that the time is now. Between us, we have over 15 years of experience in education, specifically all-girls education, and we felt like the coast really needs another opportunity for our teenage girls.
That is definitely true. All right, I mean, the one day that we get we're going to have the people that are going to have the solution to the problems that we have with our young people, and we've got the most calls we've ever had. All right, this is Livy and Ruben. Who have we got this morning?
It's Penny Packer.
Hi, Penny Packer. I know that you call a lot, and I appreciate it. We have a limited amount of time here with our guests. What is on your mind? Because I know that you are involved with law enforcement, or I think that came out on your last call, that you are affiliated with law enforcement. Are you calling about the events in Texas?
Oh, sadly, no.
Okay.
I am traveling, and I know it's Livy's last show, so I just wanted to call and say, Livy, I will miss you very, very much.
Oh, thanks, Penny. I'll miss hearing your voice.
You stick it to Ruben, which is the best, and it makes me laugh, and I wanted to call before, the show ended, so that's the only reason I was calling, just to say goodbye.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Oh, thanks. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks, Penny Packer. Okay, so back to Claire and Lindsay. Okay, so you had the idea of starting your own school. What gave you that idea? What is missing from the current landscape of education?
Yeah, so if we zoom out a bit, one of the things that Claire and I both noticed pre-pandemic was that the mental health of our teenagers was really not good. And then quarantine happened, which was really tough on teenagers who they're like their sole drive is being social. And so during the quarantine, we saw a lot of anxiety and depression come out. And so, like, a through line for your show is we really have to help these teenagers because they are suffering so much. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of just sat together and said, okay, we've got to really help this generation. We have to be the voice for them. And we questioned every single thing that's like traditional schools do. And we looked into the research and we dove in and we were like, okay, we're going to follow the research of what's best for teenagers. We're going to make sure we prioritize sleep, balance, rest, and let's get them in nature. Let's get them to go disc golfing at that, you know, Sonora Strip. Let's get them out in nature so that they can connect with our earth, you know, and building a relationship to the earth is so important anyway if we want to create a generation of responsible adults. And we just got to change what we're doing so that we can help our future adults and our world.
So I think the research is well established on all girls, right? Okay, mm-hmm. that's definitely a benefit to females. So that, you know, again, coming from a traditional co-ed public school, it's hard for me to conceive, but that's an idea that's been around for a while. And like I said, I think the research, and I think you provide links on your website, like that's fully established. I guess as a parent and as a traditionalist, what just makes me nervous is like, okay, so getting out in nature and disc golfing as a element of education and decluttering and stressing of the teenage mind, but don't we need some textbooks with some earth science or some chemistry formulas or a lab or something to like understand the things that the processes we're seeing in it? I mean, we need what you're doing. I'm trying to get there. It's just like this. I'm the person that you need to convince that this is the future direction that we need to consider.
Yeah, so when we think about the curriculum, we have to also consider like what's going on with students right now and what are they truly learning. I think that students are just memorizing and surviving in our current system. And what we have right now is we kind of have this like leftover idea that the student has to be quote unquote well-rounded in order to get into a good college. And so what that did was it created students that are super stressed because then they have to play an instrument, be in the sports, be in the school play, do all of those things. And they're not actually getting a quality education when they have all of that on their plate. So I agree with you because I have a biology background. and I have been a science teacher for 11 years. Uh-huh. So the curriculum is really going to go in depth into these processes. Like, we're still going to be learning. We're still going to use textbooks as resources because they are really good resources. But we're just going to see it as like world learning. Okay, so this textbook gives you this. Okay, but what does this like politician over here say? Let's zoom him in. Like, what's going on there? Let's get a more well-rounded, plethora of resources to help these students really learn and delve into their interests. And so college, you know, the idea is to create a good adult, like an amazing adult, a compassionate leader. But so that doesn't necessarily mean you have to go to college. But I do want to talk about college because I feel like parents are kind of worried about, oh, will my kid get into college if they go to this school? So colleges now really want students to specialize. Like, I don't know if you know this, but students have to claim their major now before they go to school, which is nuts because I still don't know what I want to do grow up. You know what I mean?
Well, let me ask you a question with regard to college, because that is something that, like, Livvy and I both have children that are about to hit high school, so now it's starting to be worried about that.
But getting real.
With the SAT, you know, with standardized tests not being really important anymore, even GPAs being questioned as to whether that's what's getting people in. And college, to me, itself has changed. The idea of college was to develop a well-rounded individual who could go into any profession. But it feels like college today is just a training school for specific jobs. So given the non-traditional direction of your school or the approach, is college even relevant anymore? I mean, would it be better for a kid to go on a six-week backpacking trip through Europe or North Africa or someplace like that is that more world experience? Is that a deeper dive into life than sitting in a classroom for 4 years, you know, studying an accounting textbook so that you can go right into an office job as an accountant or whatever? Because that's, to me, all that college is now is just job prep.
Yeah, I think we have to find the balance between needing that piece of paper of a degree and also that world learning that we're really trying to encourage at CLA. We think that when students are centered and balanced and grounded in themselves, they can really specify what they're interested in. And we don't know where our curriculum is going to go yet because our students are going to help us co-create and dictate their interests. And so we're excited to see and hopefully help to change that landscape of what college can be and the types of students we have.
Okay, so I've been stressing about this interview for a couple of weeks because I truly am trying to learn more because this is just, you know, 180 degrees from where I'm usually coming from. And so
you're doing well. You're doing well.
I hope so because the focus is on a positive thing here and getting people to enroll and be interested in this mode of education, okay? Cuz what's working now or what's in place now, you know, the jury's out right now on how well that's working. So
Some of the jury has come in, and it's not looking good.
I mean, even from social media recently, a lot of the TikTok challenges from this year have been violence against schools.
Scary.
Right? And so, like, our teenagers, they're not happy in a classroom.
Yeah.
They're waking up before their natural circadian rhythm should be allowing them to. And so we're really trying to dive into that research that says that students should be sleeping until 8, starting school at 9, being able to take a nap after, like, at certain times of day. And so those are the things that we're really trying to kind of home in on to make sure that they are happy in their educational institution that can be outside, doesn't have to be in a classroom that's dark and dingy.
Have you guys, do you both have children?
No.
No. Okay. And have you been, did you do any homeschooling for other children throughout the COVID times? Or were you maybe in a sampling of the homeschooling? Because I know a lot happened during COVID, certainly.
So Lindsay and I were full-time educators.
Okay.
So I actually feel like I have 400
totally.
Students, and I know Lindsay feels that way as well. But what I learned as an administrator, especially for girls, that, like, you can learn in high school from anywhere and be successful. You can learn on vacation in Hawaii with your family. You can learn at home in your bedroom. You can learn from the beach. You can learn.
I was gonna say Hawaii is a lot more fun.
Internet, you can learn anywhere.
Yeah.
And so why not apply that? Why not pivot now? And that's the opportunity that we're seeing, and we want to fulfill that need for our students.
Mm-hmm. Okay, tough question. I lost it there for us. Tough question. Part of the issue that I see with adults right now is this echo chamber idea that, like, you just go to the news source that confirms what you already believe, right? You're just, like, you want to be reinforcing your own thoughts. You're not, people that watch Fox News are not watching MSNBC and vice versa. Republicans are not listening to what Democrats are saying, vice versa. Okay. But how, and so then we take children who maybe don't have much experience or a large enough world we want to expand their worldview, but then we're asking them to self-select what they're interested in. How do we get to the point where we are expanding their horizons with stuff that they don't know about or that they are initially not? There's a lot of things that my dad made me do that at first I'm like, why are you making me do this? And then, like, now are an intrinsic part of my life that, like, I'm so glad that I was forced to do that through that initial reluctance. How do you navigate that?
Yeah, so my answer to that, or our answer to that, is that you have to go inward. And so both Claire and I have spent a lot of time looking at our own echo chambers and what cultural imprinting that we have in our own bodies and our thoughts of, like, what is supposed to make us, quote unquote, successful. And we had to unpack a lot of that together and support each other in our own healing to understand a path forward. And we're going to do the exact same things with students. The focus is on inward connection and, okay, I know your parents are both doctors and they want you to be a doctor, but this is a safe space. What do you like? Yeah. How can we help you? You got to go inward. You got to get off of social media, and you have to really start building self-awareness. And a big part of our school is going to be a social emotional learning, which is building those self-awareness and the emotional intelligence skills so that you can kind of start looking at your thoughts and think, okay, wait, are those my thoughts, or are those my teacher's thoughts, or are those my parents' thoughts, or my coach, or are they from TikTok? Like, let's kind of work through these so that we can find our own passions.
Mm, nice. What is your goal enrollment coming up? Are you going to have a traditional school year of, say, late August to May, June? Yeah,
great question. So our goal enrollment is a student-to-teacher ratio of 7-to-1. So we really want it to be a small cohort so they get to know us, we get to know them,
sure.
And really channel our curriculum and tailor it towards our students. And then at CLA, we work in cycles. So we plan to have a cycle, a yearly cycle, but also really stay in tune with the seasons and the seasons of the earth. So they're connected to themselves.
Nice. I'm sorry, Claire. We've got another cohort.
Oh, that's okay.
All right.
Sorry about that, caller. Feel free to call in again. Just wanted to make sure we finished up.
We missed the caller.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
That's all right. Okay.
Call back.
And sorry.
I wanted to hear the end of what she was saying.
Okay. So let's get some details about the school for people that might be interested.
Oh, here we go.
Okay. Sorry about that, Claire.
Okay.
All right. This is Ruben and Livy with Claire and Lindsay. Who have we got calling this morning?
Hi. It's Stephanie Weber calling.
Hello, Weber.
Stephanie.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Good to hear your voice.
Thanks. Hey, so as you know, I'm all for learning outside of the classroom. So what they're saying is really interesting to me. Are you guys taking boys?
No, it is an all-girls school.
Yeah, it's really important to us that we are open to all the LGBTQ plus IA community. And so non-binary we accept as well.
And then what ages are you guys doing?
So it's high school students, so 9
okay,
through 12th
awesome.
Graders.
Love what you guys are doing. It sounds awesome. But I also wanted to call and say congrats to Livy for her last show.
Thank you.
And thank you for the hours of entertainment. Thankfully, we're friends, so I get to get the entertainment without...
Slightly biased, but I so appreciate it. I love you. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. And can I just say how sweet it is that your mom and dad called and the other guy and T-Bone. I just love hearing from all of them, especially the other guy. I haven't heard his voice in a really long time.
I know. I liked hearing from mom and dad, too. And everyone else. But thank you so much for the call.
No problem.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Stephanie. Right. So all girls. Okay. So your inaugural, are you doing a summer session or are you starting in the fall?
We're planning to do a summer seminar for girls ages 14 to 17. If they want to come get to know us, it's a great way to spend a week with us doing leadership seminar. It's going to be summer camp, but seminar is a little bit more sophisticated for teenagers. But it's going to be a lot of fun. It's outside in Moss Beach. We'll spend time at the beach. We're going to talk about leadership skills. We're going to make mandalas in the sand. It's going to be great.
That's great.
Okay, and so people interested need to go to CoastSideLeadershipAcademy.com. It's pretty straightforward, CoastSideLeadershipAcademy.com. Applications for the fall term are due on July 22nd.
Yes.
And then you'll be reviewing those. Acceptance letters, always fun.
Yes.
Go out by around July 30th. So people still have 6 weeks or 2 months about to contact you to maybe get their daughter enrolled in the summer seminar, kind of feel it out a little bit. Now, this is private school, so it costs money, right? It's not a free public education, right? Okay, so that needs to be done. All right, Ruben, Ruben, Livy, Lindsay, and Claire here. Who have we got talking to us this morning?
Hello, it's Heidi calling, but this time I'm calling to have a question for Claire and for Lindsay.
Great. Okay, Heidi, it's call number 2 on the day. That's your quota now. Okay.
Right? Well, I know everyone in the studio, so this is very exciting. Well, I'm a teacher. I'm a substitute teacher at Happening Bay High School. And I've also been directing children's theater for years and years, and I'm very interested in this leadership school that they have created for my daughter, who's 14. So I have a question. Are they, during the summer camp, are they going to be doing, like, summer activities, too? Like, are they going to be doing, like, learning how to surf? Are they going to be learning how to, you know, get in water and get in nature as part of their leadership programming? I'm wondering the difference between the summer camp and the school.
Yeah, so we plan to do a little surfing, a lot of movement, a lot of hiking. We'll be talking about leadership, doing different leadership challenges, making lean-tos, building different things. And we're really excited to just get a different group of girls all together and doing fun summer events together.
Oh, that sounds really fun. Okay, well, thank you, guys. I know this is a big venture, and everyone's so curious about it. And we think it's going to be a great success. So good luck.
Thank you, Heidi.
Thanks so much, Heidi, for the call.
So
absolutely. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So an important part of the name of your school is leadership. Okay. And I'm really into the elements of leadership. And so where I struggle with the non-traditional curriculum, let's say, I feel like I can get past my concerns about that, because I feel like if a child gets nothing out of Coastside Leadership Academy, and they will, but if they get nothing else out, then an orientation to leadership and what that takes. Because to me, a good leader is someone who is confident in themselves. And I think that's one of the benefits of all girls' school, right? And also this kind of introspective personal journey that I feel like your curriculum is based on. This goes back to the kind of the opening monologue, and I feel like somewhat of the false front cowardice of bullying, gun mentality, it comes from a lack of an internal lack of confidence or being scared. And I just feel like this kind of school is going to develop young women who have personal confidence in themselves and then can go out and be effective leaders, because they feel empowered and not questioning themselves, a self-confidence that allows them to take the hit, to not have to be like puffing out their chest and like bullying people over because of a lack of self-confidence, an internal fear or whatever. Yeah. Like that. So that to me, that makes this the future of education. And there's another kind of non-traditional school. The Hemisphere School is also starting. And so this feels like, you know, that this is going to take root. And what do you envision for like the next, I mean, it's your first year, and you're probably like, hey, dude, we're just going to try to get through like the first term. But where do you see the school in 5 years or 10 years?
Yes, I have a couple of things. I'm a product of an all-girls education, and I really credit my confidence and my voice to that, and my leadership skills. My background is in creating leaders and programming for girls, and I personally have felt the benefits of learning how to lead, and we're really excited about getting out in our coastal community, talking to our the women out there who are entrepreneurs and are on our city council, and getting to know their stories too, and so we can learn from others in our community. Did you want to?
Yeah, and so we've been thinking about how we want this to proceed in the future, and what we really want is we want to train other educators and other adults on how to create their own satellite homeschool situations on the coast, on the peninsula. We really see this expand. We don't want to expand in our students, our numbers. We want to keep it small because there's a lot of power in a small female support group. So we want to train other educators on how to do this.
So maybe,
wow, that is a terrific trajectory.
I know, right?
I mean, there is such a need for that even now, let alone your academy. But, I mean, I can't tell you the number of people I've spoken to throughout COVID about homeschooling and the huge interest there. And, well, but they need a curriculum that you're talking, like something, yeah. What you're talking about.
I don't want to call it a franchise because we're not in this for the money, obviously, like that, I think that's our goal, right? If we can have a foundation and a structure and then empower others, hopefully other women to start schools like this, that would be fantastic for us.
Yeah, I mean, Coastside Leadership Academy not just for children, but hopefully you're, you know, maybe, yeah, an offshoot, you've got a parallel program to educate adults to be co-side leaders or leaders in general.
Look at you brainstorming.
No, that was the
traditionalist. You've changed him already in 20 minutes.
Because
he's signing on.
These are the perfect people and the perfect idea to have on the show,
yeah,
to counterbalance what happened this week and the hole that we're in of like, okay, stop digging and find some other way. And
yeah,
even if that other way doesn't, my pea brain can't wrap itself around it. That's my problem. These are expansive thinkers who are way out beyond the box, like trying to think of a way to stop digging and go a different direction. So, you know, good luck, and thank goodness, you know, that we've got people that have the energy and the desire to like do something.
And the passion and,
yes,
and the drive.
Yes.
I think it's so exciting.
anything else you want to tell people? I feel like we could have talked, you know, 2 hours about this, because this is really, and I saw you had an article in the paper, which is great, and you're on a media tour, right? You're here, right? So that's great. Keep the PR work up. Is there anything else that you want people to know?
We keep joking that I'm finally using my journalism.
Nice.
But we have a Zoom for parents on June 16th. If they're interested in us, please join our Zoom. You can sign up on our website. We'd love to meet all the families, and we can't wait to meet your daughters.
Coastside LeadershipAcademy.com. CLA. Go look that up right now. Claire and Lindsay, thank you so much.
Thrilled to have had you today. Couldn't have been a more perfect day to have you on.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
But hold on, Libby. All right. But this is the last show, so what are they going to do? Sue us?
No.
What are they going to do? You're out of here. You can say bad words, probably.
We've had a great run, Ruben.
All right. This one, this is just from an email from listener O.
Okay.
Way to think that one out. Like, wow. Okay. It's better than Q, I guess. O. Really going to miss Livy's subject line. We're going to miss Livy so much. So sad this is her last show. Honestly, how can the show even go on without her positive energy, funny and practical comments, and show-saving counterbalance to Ruben's ridiculousness?
Oh, wow. Hmm. Well, I don't know that I agree with that part.
Oh, you do.
I said, I've been riding your coattails for 5 years now, so I just chime in every now and again.
I know, but that's in the script. Off air, you totally agree with the people. Sometimes it is the only thing that gets me through the week. It is not often you find something or someone in life who gives you pure joy, but Livy is so genuine and positive and funny that she brings an hour of pure joy to our household every Friday. I might have to start listening to the recorded shows every Friday just to keep her in my life.
Oh,
thanks,
Libby.
Oh, my
goodness. Well, that was beautifully written. Thank you.
Well,
that will sustain me for quite a while.
Then now I don't have to say anything, because that's everything I wanted to say. Okay.
Thank you so much. It's been wonderful.
Claire Rietman-Grout and Lindsay Stewart. Was it Stewart? Yep, Lindsay Stewart. Sorry, Lindsay. There's only a limited amount of bits left in the brain here. Co-founders of the new Coastside Leadership Academy, the future of the Coastside and America.
Yay!
I don't want to put too much pressure on you two, but, you know, America is on your shoulders right now. Like, okay, you can do it. You got the strength.
If anyone can do it, they
can. And you're gonna create a cohort of young women that are going to save this country. And so we appreciate that. Thank you for coming in and being on the show this morning. Good luck. We'll be keeping an eye on you. Please feel free to call into the show in the fall. We will be back. I don't know if
I'll come in anytime. You know, you have an empty chair here. I'll find my way in.
All right. So Coastal Wind is taking its usual summer sabbatical. I'll be driving to Alaska and back this summer, stopping in every little one-horse town and campground on the way to compare life out there. Kind of what Coastside Leadership Academy is about. A deep dive into myself and real life out there, so that when we come back and we start the show, season 6, on I think August 27th, that there will be some context for what's happening here on the coast and for the comments and the topics that we talk about here. And maybe maybe we need to have a student from Coastside Leadership Academy come and be a guest here to
That's
kind of explain
a great idea.
What they are learning there, because I'm really interested.
Yeah, that would be wonderful.
Right. All right, that's a wrap on season 5. That's a wrap on Livy Streetwise, and we will be back. Coastal Windows will be back on August 27th, 2022.
Have a great summer, everyone.
Have a great summer. KHMB, your Coastside Community Radio. Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast.